Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. As you know, we're still doing marketing, so we're going to kind of give you a glimpse of what we're hoping to cover coming up. And unless I have an interview in hand by Monday, we are probably going to dig into the ratification debates. And we'll, I don't know where we'll start off with. Maybe I'll just kind of throw a dart at the at a board that has the different state ratification debates that we're going to be covering. But it's very important that you hear exactly what these framers stated regarding the Constitution. Did you know that it was stipulated that Congress could not immune themselves from any laws that they passed? Did you know that? That is in the terms of the contract, and the fact that Congress has immune themselves from all of their tyranny? They're violating their own contract. So I'm just going to explain to you the importance of the ratification debates for those who are new to the show and new to the message and new to this content. If you understand contract law, if you understand that during the negotiations of a contract, anything that further defines a line, a clause, a statement, or a thing within that contract, that further definition becomes legally binding. Oh, really? Yes. So let's say you're an employer and you're going to hire me and you have all of these businesses and you own, it's not a franchise, it's a business. You own them all and you know me and you know, you've got them in all these different states and you want to have me come work for you in my state, in my local community so that I can, you know, work for you. And so you're helping me out. And so I'm looking at the contract that you send me. That's a salary contract. Okay. So you're going to pay me, you know, these stipends for the whole year. And that in the employment, you expect, and it is expected that, and in the contract, it says that all employees must wear ball caps. And I said, I noticed that, you know, you have this stipulation in the contract here, ball caps, but I don't necessarily own a ball cap. Can it just be a hat? Because I, you know, if it's just headwear, then I can just wear, a, you know, any kind of hat, right? As long as I'm wearing a hat. And you as the owner send me an email back and say, absolutely, you can wear any hat you want. That's okay. We just want to make sure that everybody's wearing hats. And so maybe it's a hat paraphernalia type of store, what have you. It doesn't matter. The point is that in the contract, it says ball caps. You stipulate that it can be any kind of hat as the owner and as a qualification for my employment that all I have to do is wear a hat. Well, I show up to work and the manager who I'm going to be working for a while, points out the fact that, hey, you're not wearing a ball cap. And in fact, the only hat I have is a top hat, excuse me, is a top hat. So I kind of stick out. And the manager says, I'm sorry, you either have to wear a ball cap or you can't work here. And I said, well, I don't own a ball cap. And he says, the terms of the contract, they go, actually, I have a clause that says I don't have to wear a ball cap. I can wear any hat I want. And he goes, I don't care what clause, what anything you have says, you have to wear a ball cap or you're fired. And I said, well, I don't have one and I'm not going to wear one. I was told I can wear this. And he goes, then you're fired. Well, guess what? Based on the terms of the contract that the owner gave me a clause, a legally binding clause that I can wear any hat I want. Now I have legal grounds to go after that owner and over that establishment for my entire salary for the year because I was promised this job and I was given a clause or an exemption from having to wear a ball cap. And so I'll bet you anything that before that goes to court, that the owner probably fires the manager, makes me, or says, hey, I didn't know that you only had a top hat. This is a terrible thing. I mean, we sell ball caps, and I just thought as long as you had a hat, you know, but come on, a top hat? And I go, well, that's all I have. Bottom line, either he maintains his franchise, and what I mean by that is there are these understood brand. It's about brand, right? When it comes to business, it's all about brand. And if your brand is ball caps and wearing a ball caps, and all of a sudden you allow the terms and or your brand to be watered down by any type of hat, top hats and so forth, then you're not protecting your brand. And maybe it's been the ball caps that's been your success because the uniquenesses or what have you. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that we had negotiated a very specific understanding to the terms of the contract. Now, let's put this in context to the Constitution. The Constitution says these words. As they went through these words in the ratification debates, they clarified what that clause meant, the necessary and proper clause of the foregoing powers. They clarified that to ad nauseum. The supremacy clause, they clarified that to ad nauseum. The commerce clause, they clarified that. And I'm telling you that it was also stipulated in one of the ratification debates, because if it applies in one, it applies in all. If it was disclosed that this was the standard set, then it is the standard for all. Why? Because the Constitution does not allow one state or one group of representatives or one portion of the federal government have to behave in one way when the others don't. So anything that creates a greater restriction or a definition of a restriction, that applies to all. And so in the one state that clearly stated that Congress would not be able to immune themselves from any laws that they pass, that they must live under those same laws, then the fact is they're breaking the terms of the contract as defined during the negotiations of the contract. It doesn't matter if it was stipulated, because I'm telling you that the government comes after any company that has any type of variance or failing to fulfill the letter of the entire contract. When I say the entire contract, I don't necessarily mean the words of the contract, but also things that were clarified, languages, presentation, what have you. And the federal government is very good at closing down businesses because they didn't fulfill the letter of the clause, the term, the terms of definition, or what have you of that contract. And so that is the fundamentals of contract law. That's why the ratification debates are so critical, because we all believe that the Supreme Court has this freedom of interpretation. They don't. If it is something that is not defined in the ratification debates, then okay, then they need to try to find the intent and spirit. So there is maybe an inkling of interpretation regarding constitutional debates. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, as we go through these ratification debates, any and every hole that you are afraid of that the Supreme Court might interpret away, like abortion and those things, they don't have a standing, because it was clarified again, to ad nauseum throughout almost every state, that the federal government didn't have those kinds of powers, that they were restricted to enumerated powers only, that the Commerce Clause only applies, the Supremacy Clause only applies, the General Welfare and Defense Clause and the Necessary and Proper Clause, all four of these clauses only apply to the enumerated powers within the Constitution, and that is all. They are not, and those are capital N-O-T, not portals to grant themselves new powers that they deem necessary, proper, supreme, or what have you. That The true agents of supremacy over all things not delegated are the states, individually and collectively. So this is why Republic Review is so important. This is why these ratification debates are so important. That's why we're going to go through them. So these marketing shows, we kind of tell you this type of stuff. But you want to tune in and you want to look at the Red State Talk radio page, because who knows, if I get an interview, we may actually go through the interview first and then we'll go through the content. But I'm at a point where we only talk about what's coming up during these marketing segments or these marketing shows, episodes, because that's where I kind of have some freedom and latitude. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to make our content all about the content of the day. That way I'm not, you know, wandering around about Christmas or the holidays or what have you. So if you tune in and I'm giving you a content episode, you're not going to hear, you know, the relevance of, you know, the shooting that just occurred, the massacre, or even the assassination attempt. We'll cover those things when we get into the marketing, because 9 times out of 10, if not 100% of the time, all those news events are absolute, and I call it marketing, absolute marketing, because they only prove the case that if we do not step up and demand compliance of the Constitution, things are only going to get worse. There are outliers, and I apologize for those, but I can't account for them either. So anyway, that's why we call them outliers. Anyway, we're at a hard break, so when we come back, I'll do some quick obligatories, and we're going to do a rapid fire through a lot of news that you probably have not heard. So after the break, we'll be right back. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and Republic Review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their Constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model, on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
I am sorry for ranting, because I took up a whole segment ranting over the fundamentals of contract law. You have to understand that back in the framers' days, the contract was stipulated to how it was agreed upon and by the handshake. They didn't need things written down, but I am here to tell you that they wrote everything down, because over time, contract law matured, and over time, because of contract law maturing, we now have the legal standings. And as a matter of fact, even back then, Madison clearly stated that we can't go by what we think they might have thought. We have to go by precisely what the states understood the Constitution to mean at the time of ratification. In other words, how it was sold during those debates of negotiation before the state ultimately decided whether to accept the contract as defined or to reject it. And the way it was defined is why it was accepted, and the way it was defined is integral to the actual contract itself. In other words, it is inseparable. That is why the ratification debates are legal amendments. They are legal appendages to the Constitution. I hope this all makes sense. So, if you want to support this show, if you want to support this content, if you want to support the reclaiming of the Republic and restoring our constitutional republic to the precise definitions that the framers dictated as they explained the Constitution, then we need your help. We need your support. There's a couple ways you can do that. Red State Coffee is one product and one sponsor that we have that is, you know, paying proceeds to this show. Now, you can go buy Red State Coffee as one way to support us. You can find Red State Coffee via the link on Reclaiming the Republic right there on the homepage, reclaimingtherepublic.org. Follow that link and you can get Red State Coffee. I would suggest that you have your progressive friends, Democrat friends that, you know, they still consider you a friend. They haven't stabbed you in the back enough yet, or they're still going on this concept of, well, we can agree to disagree, but deep down, they're hardwired in trying to kill you and destroy you. Have them come over and help consume the Red State Coffee. And if there's a good way to get them to pay for it, then they're buying Red State Coffee that is actually supporting the restoration of our Constitution. So with that, that's one way to support us. We also have the crowdfunding on GoFundMe, reclaimingtherepublic.org. Right there on the homepage, you can click on that link, and that's one way you can actually do a direct contribution with, you know, it's almost like PayPal. I think PayPal takes a percentage out, 3 or 6 or whatever it is, and the crowdfunding does the same thing. They take out about 5% or so. So I'm just inviting you, 5 or more, but anyway, I'm inviting you to, you know, pay directly, or you can send us a check. You can send a check to G.R. Mobley, and then you can, you know, let us know. And I will actually let you know, because I've received a check, and I've communicated to the, you know, people in the past what that money's gone to, and, you know, I even provide the receipts and so forth. There is no doubt in my mind that none of this money is coming into supporting our lifestyle, our quality of life. The Lord has blessed us to a point. Not that we're rich, that I can buy the Republic like Trump. Shoot, if I had Trump's money, I wouldn't even be here doing this. I would be actually running TV ads, educating everybody, and I'd be the most dangerous person in the world, because I would truly be threatening to cut all the strings that the globalist agenda has created, because that's what Reclaiming the Republic and Republic Review is all about. It takes America away from those who are trying to manipulate us all into subjugating ourselves to global communism. Anyway, another way you can support is getting involved yourself. We need you. We want you to actually consider running and challenging rhinos and standing up and running a platform on the Constitution. Prove me now that you cannot win by using the Constitution as our weapon and as our defense. And I will show you how successful you can be by making the Constitution your platform. People may not like parts of the Constitution, but it has a mechanism for change in it. Congress can easily recommend, with 2/3 of both houses, an amendment. We don't need 2/3 of the state to actually try to open up the Constitution. And technically, we really don't need amendments. Let's get to enforcing it first. So anyway, what I was covering in my last episode was about the deep state holiday and how Ann Coulter had reported, and G. Edward Griffin was identifying Ann Coulter in saying that Kwanzaa is a fake holiday that was created in 1966 by Ronald Everett, a black radical who founded the United Slaves Organization that did bidding of the FBI. During the madness of the 60s, the FBI created opposition, controlled opposition, by supporting the most extreme black nationalist organization in order to discredit and split the left. There's no doubt in my mind that they were doing the exact same thing to the right, and I've read an interesting expose regarding the John Birch Society that they did the exact same thing. Now, I would just say that when it comes to organizations, and when organizations take positions that are self-actualizing, in other words, they're taking a position to maintain their relevance. And, you know, in other words, let's say you're all about equality, and then all of a sudden we pass, you know, an amendment to the Constitution that ensures equality for all. Well, then your organization and your push, your passion, your assertion has been satisfied. So you and your organization should basically just sunset. It should just go away. But 9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen, because you've created an organization, you're employing people, and people go, well, isn't there something else we can do? And so you fight to find relevance. If you want to know why we are this close to communism, is because we have been divided by all these different controlled oppositions throughout our society. We are constantly being divided. I made a post yesterday to a friend on Facebook that basically said, look, if I could get everybody to back out from their pet peeve, whether it be abortion, homosexual marriage, whether it be education, healthcare, I don't care what your pet peeve is, back out and look. Every single one of these issues has one thing in common. The federal government has no jurisdiction. They're violating the Constitution because of that, and they're ramming these things down our throat. Here's the simple solution. Let's enforce the Constitution. You don't have jurisdiction, you can't meddle with it. Those are George Nicholas's words during the ratification week. That's why they're so important. So anyway, Ann Coulter, I believe, goes on and says, the FBI fueled the rivalry between the United Slaves and the Black Panthers, who were not seeking armed revolution. So Everett's United Slaves shot two Black Panthers to death on the UCLA campus, and Everett served prison time for torturing two of his Black female followers, and he was declared insane in 71 by a psychiatrist who said that he displayed paranoia and schizophrenia. Currently, Everett is the chair of the African Studies Department at California State University at Long Beach, or in Long Beach. And I'm just here to tell you, my friends, that's what happens. That if you look at the people like the Charlie Manson's followers, I think some of his followers, the same thing with the Weather Underground. These radicals are getting seats, regents, and what have you. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? We are basically allowing Tories, people who are trying to undermine our Constitution directly, and we're rewarding them and giving them recognition like they've done something good. Evil is good, and good is evil. That may not have came out right, but you understand what I'm saying. We have finally reached that time where everybody looks at good as evil, and everybody looks at evil as good, because we have been programmed to think that way. I've talked about this regarding the education system and how kids are being programmed that if you have a Christian parent that wants you to have moral values and these types of things, they're your enemy because they want to take away your sexual good time. How dare they? And that's where we are. Anyway, Judith Brown, this is G. Edward Griffin, who's reporting. This is a very interesting story. Judith Brown Deanis is a civil rights lawyer and a racial advocate who is the co-director of the George Soros-funded Advancement Project, was recorded on video a few weeks ago, counting down the days until white people become a minority in 2042. She said, people say that demographics aren't destiny. Well, we're trying to make it destiny. And I'm just telling you, and this is his editorializing, J. Edward Griffin's editorializing. May we assume that the we to whom she refers includes George Soros? Stephanie Valencia, a former Obama administration official, responded with, amen. Diana said in 2017 tweet, members of Congress better check the demographic trends. We plan to make demographics destiny, so watch your a blank blank. In other words, watch your butt, watch your backside, because we're taking over. And as soon as we make whites the minority, they will rue us and we will rue the day. So if you understand the context that we're putting to this, there is an ideological war that white is evil, good is evil, and evil is good. So we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so here's a story you may not have heard. There's a gentleman in North Carolina. His name's Pete Dabrowska, a Republican from North Carolina, who is running for Congress on an American First platform. That includes placing a moratorium on all immigration, both legal and illegal, to achieve a zero net immigration. Now, he basically comes out and says that the younger Republicans are not as controlled by political elites because they understand that the Chamber of Commerce has bought and paid for politicians in Congress, which is driving this open borders concept so they can get cheaper labor and so forth. Dabrowska says immigrants are taking jobs from both working class and middle class Americans, and that migrants are being given visas for high tech jobs, blocking educated Americans from employment in their field. He says Wall Street free market capitalism is different than Main Street. Free market capitalism. From Main Street free market capitalism. America formerly had an immigration moratorium for half of the 20th century. And he wants to look at taking us back that way. And he's running for his congressional seat. good likelihood in North Carolina he might get it. I don't know what his district is, whether it's a purple, red, or blue, but there is sentiments that are growing in moving the put America first. I believe that we don't look at it that way. The America, like American government, I believe we have to put the Constitution first. That is the foundation of America. G. Edward Griffin is reporting that MIT researchers have created an ink. Listen to this. An ink to track who has had a certain vaccination that can be embedded in the skin alongside the vaccine and is only visible using a special infrared application. The invisible tattoo is a pattern made up of tiny semiconducting crystals that reflect light and thus glows under infrared light. The research was funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, as Bill Gates made a direct request for the biological technology so that they can actually tell who's complying and taking their vaccines and not. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation came under intense criticism in India in 2009 when they promoted the Gardasil vaccine for the human papillomavirus, the HPV virus. Three rounds of the vaccine were given to 16,000 girls aged 9 to 15 without proper consent. Many of the girls became ill, and five reportedly died after taking the vaccine. That's 16,000 girls, five died. That's a pretty high percentage. I mean, it's not in the tens or singles, but it's too high to actually say, you know, what is it? And where is that line that is acceptable that people die because you want to promote some vaccine that is a potential killer? Are you kidding? That is the mind model of the elitist. Gates believes that that is an acceptable loss until it happens to him, until it hits close home for him. And so I'm just telling you that we have people, the elitists, that want to start forcing and mandating things that, as far as I'm concerned, are an abysmal practice when we start doing these things, because there has been more and more evidence that is linking vaccines to actually being more of part of the problem. As a matter of fact, I told you about the Pentagon actually having a brief of how they've had successful usages of vaccine in programming people to become less religious zealots and become more malleable into, you know, accepting secularism and so forth. Here's another one on vaccines. G. Edward Griffin has reported this has just happened over the Christmas break. Seattle Public Schools sent out a warning to parents that thousands of students could be banned from school or returning from school after Christmas break if they are not up to date on their vaccinations. Personal or philosophical exemptions for the MMR vaccines were eliminated by the Washington State lawyers. And what is that? Measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. And so these exemptions were removed by the Washington State lawmakers in May of 2019. And now Seattle is basically saying your kids can't come back to school if they're not vaccinated. Well, okay, good. Sounds like it's time to start homeschooling, my friends. G. Edward Griffin also reported earlier this month that St. Teresa Catholic School closed down for Christmas break early because there was an outbreak of pertussis, also called whooping cough. The school reported that all St. Teresa's students were 100% vaccinated, which led the Children's Health Defense, the CHD, to conclude that the whooping cough vaccine is a complete failure. The CHD further reports that the triple whooping cough vaccine, DTaP, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce it because you know I'm bad with names, but the DTaP vaccine may be actually driving increased risk of whooping cough. The DTaP vaccine has been linked to over 30 adverse health effects. 30. And I just want you to know that this disease was once eradicated here in America, but is becoming common again because illegals from the southern border are bringing it into your communities. Our immigration laws actually protect us from this if we were following the Constitution. But instead, we have hacks in political offices in Congress that refuse to enforce the Constitution, refuse to protect the states from invasion, which is a constitutional requirement in Article 4, Section 4. And so what they're doing by not supporting the Constitution, they're giving aid and comfort to the enemy who is coming up and basically inflicting diseases and causing havoc in our society. Are you kidding? It seems your politicians demand compliance from you and are using whatever means necessary to ensure compliance. Folks, when are you going to demand your politicians comply to our Constitution? It's that simple. I'm just here connecting the dots. And I'm here to tell you, we have all the force. We have the constitutional and the legal standing to force the federal government into compliance. As a matter of fact, we have the teeth in the Constitution to get rid of every single lawmaker, every single political hack that puts their arm to the square. And any bureaucrat that is not supporting the Constitution, Article, the 14th Amendment, Section 3, not Article, but the 14th Amendment, Section 3, gives us the power to remove and ban these people from public office and public service. It's that simple. We don't need the Supreme Court to step in and start, you know, opening up the crystal ball and waving their hands and saying, we believe and we see. There are emanations from penumbras. I'm here to tell you, my friends, that we have all the teeth necessary. All we have to do is take a stand and assert it. That is why Wyoming is already leading the pack. That's why the dark red states are starting to get it. If you do not understand the ramifications of noncompliance, we are only getting closer and closer to the precipice of falling. All these folks that are thinking that the Convention of the States, Article 5 Convention, is going to save us. There is no silver bullet amendment that will force compliance. The only mechanism that forces compliance to the Constitution is republic review, period. And I'm talking about full compliance. If you're not in compliance, you are violating and therefore must be removed either for treason or for the violation of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Okay? Anyway, got about a minute, so let me try this. Juan Sanchez, an illegal, this is a G. Edward Griffin story as well. Juan Sanchez, an illegal alien from Mexico, who was recently arrested in a hit-and-run accident that killed a pedestrian, Annette Conquering Bear, a mother of six. Sanchez has been deported six different times in the last two decades. The 42-year-old suspect was also arrested three times for driving under the influence of alcohol between 2000 and 2002. His bail has been set to $500,000. ICE has lodged a detainer request for Sanchez should he be able to make bond, but it's not clear if the request will be honored, as a law was passed earlier this year by Colorado's Democrat-controlled state government that largely prohibits law enforcement from helping ICE apprehend or locate illegal aliens in the state. In other words, Colorado has thumbed its nose at the Constitution and says, we don't have to support the Constitution and the enforcement of the Constitution. Technically, it should be the militia doing this. But I'm here to tell you, my friends, that when states like Colorado put violators of the Constitution ahead of you, your property rights, and your life, we are in very dangerous and perilous times. We need to start understanding and getting this message out. This may be a great time to plug. Get your other like-minded friends attuned to what we're doing with Republic Review. Get them to start tuning in, getting the content. This marketing is just, it's just motivators. These are things that are happening, and it's going to happen to you. These things, I mean, if you look at the breadth of what the federal government is doing, it will happen to every single one of us if it's not already. We'll be right back after these two promos, and I'll rant a little more on this.
folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, I did this in a previous episode, and we just went into the break before I could actually, you know, extend this rant regarding how people are dying, how things are happening, and whether it is a direct consequence of this evil behavior of illegal immigrants in sanctuary states, sanctuary cities, unconstitutional cities and states, not supporting the Constitution. Whether it's that or anything, I will prove to you. Put a blindfold on, get yourself a ball, wad up a piece of paper into a ball, and throw that paper in any direction, regardless of what it hits. You will find that there are unconstitutional regulations, statutes, or what have you, that are associated to that product, whether it be glass, whether it be metal, whether it be wood. There is unconstitutional federal regulations that are affecting every part and every facet of your life. I'm not just saying that, you know, these illegal aliens, it's going to affect you. You are already being affected in every way. Every way. There is nothing you can do that is not being affected by unconstitutional government. If you want to see the price of things go down, if you want to see us actually becoming independent and sovereign individual states and republic, then we have to actually support the Constitution and demanding compliance. And Republic Review, as I've been saying, prove me wrong. I would love to see somebody actually come up with an academic argument that proves that what I am saying about the Constitution is incorrect. You can't. Even constitutional professors can't. They don't like it. They don't like that I'm out here actually threatening their potential gravy train because they get billions of federal unconstitutional dollars to help propagate their agendas in teaching whatever the federal government dictates. That's right. Every facet of our life is being controlled by a government that has no jurisdiction and no constitutional authority to do these things. What's it going to take? I'm hoping that you're starting to get this. And this one right here from J. Edward Griffin, this is rich. And this is interesting.
One American News Network, a small conservative media outlet in San Diego, sued Rachel Maddow, the primetime star of MSNBC News, for $10 million after she falsely claimed on air, quote, "In this case, the most ubiquitous pro-Trump right-wing news outlet, OAN, in America, really literally is paid Russian propaganda. Their on-air U.S. politics reporter is paid by the Russian government to produce propaganda for that government," close quote. So that's what she said on air. And this is what's been said. The Maddow based her claim on the fact that before the staffer was employed by OAN, she had done some freelance work for Sputnik News and did not do any work for Sputnik after she was hired by the OAN. Maddow's lawyer argued that the News Star statement was rhetoric hyperbole incapable of being proved true or false. However, it can be proven false. The UC Santa Barbara linguist professor Stefan Thomas Grease says that Maddow's statement was unlikely to be considered an opinion and that Maddow, a graduate of Stanford and Oxford universities and a Rhodes Scholar just like Bill Clinton, is not the sort of person an audience would expect to misuse the word literally. And so I'll go back to that quote. In this case, this is the quote by Maddow. Quote, "In this case, the most ubiquitous pro-Trump right-wing news outlet, OAN, in America, really literally is paid Russian propaganda is paid Russian propaganda. Their on-air U.S. politics reporter is paid by the Russian government to produce propaganda for that government." So she used the word literally. And so they're saying that that is going to bust, MSNBC and Maddow. And I hope it does, because bottom line, the propaganda mill has to be shut down. Anybody that is associated to the Rhodes Scholar Program is a global communist. They are a part of the Illuminati. They're part of the evil deep state. And they're doing their job in trying to promote and convince you that the devil doesn't exist. J. Edward Griffin's next story that we're going to cover is Trump's Federal Communication Commission chairman, Ajit Pai, PAI, announced a $9 billion fund to help carriers deploy 5G wireless service in rural America, which is more difficult in sparsely populated areas because many small cells are required. The FCC will set aside at least $1 billion for projects facilitating precision agriculture. This is to support large globalist agricultural development in America instead of the American farmer. This 5G network will allow tractors to be guided by radio signals. No mention is made of the fact that this is already a possibility from GPS. All the talk is about faster signals for better communication and how to improve agriculture, but many believe the real objective is total surveillance. And there you have it. Total surveillance. And these people that are preppers, these people that are sovereign citizens, these people that think that they can just check out and, you know, unplug themselves and go over here and just kind of live at a minimal, you know, life. You're wrong. You are completely wrong, because when they actually close the noose, there will be no room left. G. Edward Griffin also reports, there's all these good news stories. You need to sign up for the Need to Know News by G. Edward Griffin. In Annapolis, Maryland, the U.S. Naval Academy, one of the most prestigious educational institutions in the country, is now offering any interested midshipmen students a study group based on the teachings of the Satanic Temple, as the Academy supports diversity in beliefs. The Satanic Temple is an IRS-recognized tax-exempt church. There you go, folks. Good is evil and evil is good.
J. Edward Griffin reports about unconstitutional enforcement in a different form. And here you have it in Tehama County, California. Jack LaPont, LaPont, planted 900 acres of winter wheat on his property in 2011. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, Farm Services Agency, and the Natural Resources Conservation Service, both federal agencies, assured him that growing wheat would be legal because it was consistent with past use of the land. A year later, what happens a year later? Well, that's when you harvest your crops and you have all this money. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers informed him that under the Clean Waters Act, he needed a permit to farm his property. And according to Congress, under the CWA, normal farming activities such as LaPont's are exempt from the permit requirement. Nevertheless, the Army Corps of Engineers took action against him, and he now faces severe penalties. My friends, this is federal tyranny at its best. You can't tell me that these agencies don't have visibility to what they're doing. And so there's no doubt in my mind, the U.S. Corps of Army, my father, who died a while ago, cut some trees down on his own property. Now, there's no doubt that the neighbors didn't like it because they were tree-hugging liberals, and they basically complained. They went to the county, and the county said, hey, you have to have a permit for a soil erosion study and all of these things. And they knew exactly how much he made because they found out the logging company, what they paid my father to do the work. And they came after him for fines that equaled what he was paid so that they would steal the wealth that he would have gotten from the trees that grew on his property, like $10,000. And then the county continually harassed my father until a point when my father says, I don't have any money left other than these few hundred dollars. And the county employee at that point said, we will settle for those few hundred dollars. And my father, just because he wanted to be rid of the harassment, paid them. And had it been me, I would have said, no, I'll see you in court. And they believe that they have this control over all of your property. The fact of the matter is that is your property. And if they created a law, see, my father bought this property in 1966. And at that point in time, there were no restrictions that you couldn't cut your own trees or what have you. So my property, or my father's property, was a part of his wealth assessment with trees and everything else. They came along and passed laws. Well, the government can do that, right? No. Government cannot pass laws that are considered ex post facto laws. And my father said, I wish I would have known this, and I wouldn't have settled. Because bottom line is, if you bought that property and it was legal for you to sell your trees at that point in time, and they pass a law that says you can't anymore, that's an ex post facto law, something that was legal, and now they criminalize you and they come after you and they penalize you. That is a violation. The states, per Article 1, Section 10 of the Constitution, does not allow states to pass ex post facto laws. Folks, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless, and have a great weekend. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org.
and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.